this is a company that is not going to be publicly traded. They're not going to have reporting to shareholders. There's going to be no obligation on this company to disclose to anyone publicly if they're interested in selling ISC again, which should be a real concern when we're talking about the security of data around things like farmland, property registry for Saskatchewan.
There's a reason these things were publicly owned. There's a reason that the public interest should stay at the forefront.
Not everybody is happy with the sale of Information Services Corporation. That's Alina Young, who is, of course, the critic for the NDP on this file, saying we should not be selling ISC. What we do know is all shares are being sold at $51 a share. So the province of Saskatchewan, for the shares that the province owned, 29.5% of the company shares, that will result in about $277 million prior to any closing costs and fees. The golden share, which was baked into the agreement by the Saskatchewan government, will remain. So the golden share will be owned by CIC here in Saskatchewan on behalf of the government of Saskatchewan. With strengthened provisions under the amended act, the government of Saskatchewan is entitled to appoint two directors, and the head office functions and data will all remain in Saskatchewan. Despite that, some people saying bad idea to sell it. Others saying sell it and keep going. You could sell some other crown corporations while you're at it. I want to go back to the phone line, 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Brad in Prince Albert. Brad, thanks for calling in. What do you make of this sale of ISC?
Well, actually, it has more to do with the fees that ISC charges, which are four times as high as in Alberta, which still owns their own land registry. It's not privatized, which is ironic since Alberta is a land of free enterprise. Mm-hmm. We pay four times as much, and that is directly because ISC has become a private corporation in 2013. If we pay half, we pay twice as much as Ontario residents do to transfer land. This also ties into your other comment about farmland and people wanting to sell. It's those buyers that are paying four times as much to acquire land. These are all added costs. So to put this in perspective, and I did call once.
I remember the chat, Brad, yes. Now that you're talking, yes. Yeah.
And at the time, I wasn't aware that they were selling the other shares. It just that I'd gone through this.
Right.
So a typical house in Saskatchewan now, in the urban centers, is $500,000. Well, you have to pay $2,000 to ISC, or your sale doesn't go through. You can sell it privately, avoid real estate fees. You could do your own legal work, but it's like extortion. You have to pay ISC that $2,000.
And I remember you saying, I remember, Brad, you had an example of they do have transactions that cost much less, so they prove they can do it.
They're charging 0.4%. And as an example, up to $6,300, the fee is $25. In Alberta, the minimum fee is $50. And after on every $5,000 after that, it's $5, which is 0.1%. Mm-hmm. And that's what it should be here. And that should be taken care of prior to a sale.
Make sure that Saskatchewan people are looked after is what you're saying. Now, when we chatted with Paul Martin off the start of the show, he as much as said that once this got rolling, this became more than just land titles. It became basically this repository, if you will, of all registries, whether it's business or whatever. Many people realized this could be a moneymaker. And as Paul Martin said, often businesses won't do as well when they are owned by government as they will in the private sector. So you see governments stepping out of the way and letting the businesses take over. So this sale is essentially what's happening. But Brad's point, I mean, when you called in a couple of weeks ago, Brad, I have not forgotten what you said. They proved that they can do it on a smaller sale for a less of a price. So this is strictly a money-making business venture. If the more expensive the land, the more money you pay. It's not to cover their costs. It's to make money. This is absolutely being run as a business. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Brett in Martinsville. Brett, thanks for calling in. We have people now. I mean, this has sparked a bigger conversation about, should we retain the Crowns as a province? Should we be talking about selling them? Do you have thoughts?
It's Preston, actually, not Brent.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
That's all good. I just, have you had the chance to read Eric Klein's book yet?
Yes.
Wandered?
Yes.
You did read it.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, there's a guy who's, he's got insight, right? He's been there both from the government standpoint and on executives of mining companies. And he creates a compelling argument for increasing royalties. You can't deny that. I still don't know what the right answer is, but he creates the argument for sure in his book.
Well, I think the answer's in the book that we should be. But nonetheless, I mean, if we hadn't privatized BCS, we'd be sitting on billions of dollars in revenue. In hindsight, 2020. But everybody likes to complain about the.
I think I might have lost you, Preston. Sorry, Preston. You cut out a little bit there. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No. I just think that everybody complains about their taxes, and we've got big players like Nutrien not paying their fair share, and we've got a healthcare system in shambles, and not to mention. I mean, you want to sell the rest of the Crowns? We have the lowest among the lowest insurance rates on cell phones or insurance rates and on cell phones. So, and that's because we have Sasfel and SGI. So, I mean, what are we doing? We want to keep costs down. Do we want to pay services, or we just want to, and I'll add to that also, Danielle Smith just put a cap on auto insurance on rates in Alberta. And what's more socialist than that? Than the cap. So we don't need to do that because we have SGI.
It's, you know, your point is well taken, Preston, because we just had Brad on talking about if we retain land titles like we originally did, even if it does morph into ISC, the province would have the ability to regulate the costs a bit more. And Brad gave examples of Alberta and Ontario where transferring land, the purchase of land or property, costs you a lot more from a land title standpoint than it does here in Saskatchewan. 1-877-332-8255. Let's keep going on the phone lines. Although, actually, I wanted to get to, there was a couple of good texts on. So here's one. Doug in Arcola said, Evan, let's not forget, Sask taxpayers paid $100 million to convert the land titles to the new streamlined system not that many years ago. Doug's frustrated with the premier. In his text, he said, this is another example of Scott Moe's liberal policy following Carney's lead of selling off taxpayer-owned entities and using health investment as a guise. I've seen that frustration in Doug's text before, feeling that the province is following too close in the footsteps of the liberal federal government. Now, Cameron in Regina said, I'm all for the complete elimination of Crown corporations and public servants of any kind. The private sector is motivated to minimize costs, maximize efficiency, and offer rates that reflect reality rather than the sustained offered through subsidies. There's two sides to this. I mean, what Preston was just saying is the other side. If you've got a government-owned Crown corporation, you do have the ability to put a cap on the cost and limit the impact that it has on citizens in the province. Whereas if it's a business, you're not going to get that. The province of Saskatchewan has enshrined a couple of things to keep the actual head office and the data here in Saskatchewan. But I mean, short of that, you know, the business decisions are going to be made in what's in the best interest of the business, of the shareholders. And that usually will come at the expense of the customers. I saw a text early this morning from John in White City pointing out that, you know, it just, if you think that the information is safe because it's staying in Saskatchewan, look no further than the Telemiracle hack, private information breached from the Kinsman Foundation. John got an email like I did as well. So many people that donated to Telemiracle likely received the email saying, just so you know, there's been a breach and a bunch of your information. Doesn't look like credit card information, but home address, phone number, email, your name, even the amount of money you donated. all of that has been exposed. So it's just basically an awareness thing to be aware in case you start getting suspicious emails or text messages. Don't click a link. Don't do what it's asking you to do. Always check with Telemiracle, the foundation. There's a number set up to help you there as well. So we just need to be aware that we haven't had any scam alerts yet, but you know with that breached information, it's always a possibility. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. Let's go to Ken. Ken's taking us in a different direction. We're going to talk energy production. Ken in Saskatoon, what do you got?
Well, you had an expert on, and I used to play soccer with a bunch of university professors, and some of them were actually smarter than me, and I learned a lot. So when you talk to an expert, it depends on which one you get as to what answer you're going to get. And so when you were asking these questions, a question if you had asked a physicist or an engineer, and it's the question I want answered, which is, which energy system source is the one that will provide the most robust system, the most reliable, the most secure under extreme weather in Saskatchewan? And when you ask a physicist or an engineer that, they'll tell you that's either coal or nuclear, and then followed by natural gas, hydro. And at the very bottom for reliability in extreme weather is wind and solar. Now, as somebody who lives in Saskatchewan, I'm glad that the provincial government or, you know, Sask Energy, Sask Power, they're doing what is the most robust system we can get for our weather. That's all I care about. The rest of the stuff is incidental.
It's a good point, Ken. And I did mention, Ken is referencing the conversation we had yesterday with Brett Dalter, who is a professor of economics at the University of Regina. He specializes in Saskatchewan's electricity policy. I mentioned to him how many times through the winter we often end up selling our reliable power, coal generated reliable electricity and power, to Alberta because the wind-generated power dips down, they don't have enough there, they can't handle the baseload requirements, and as a result, we end up being kind of that reliable neighbor to sell it. So yeah, I mean, there's no question Ken's point is well taken. The reliability of coal is an important one. You know, part of the conversation that Brett brought up yesterday is, if we continue to see this cross-Canada trek by Prime Minister Mark Carney to single out provinces and negotiate individual prices on carbon, like he's done with Alberta in exchange for this pipeline MOU. He's just in BC talking with them. They too are talking about what industrial carbon pricing will look like. Saskatchewan, keep in mind, has shut off the carbon pricing in the province, but that doesn't mean that it won't have to bring it back on. And if we do, what impact does that have on energy production? That's part of the discussion that we had with the professor from the U of R yesterday. Ken, appreciate the call and joining the conversation. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to continue the conversation. Open lines up until 10 o'clock. Then the mayors will be here from both Regina and Saskatoon for one full hour. So from 10 to 11 o'clock, Mayor Chad Baczynski from Regina, Mayor Cynthia Block from Saskatoon. We'll have a conversation with them. And again, we welcome your questions in that conversation as well. But the open line portion of the show, we'll be back for one more segment here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I was grumbling about this earlier, but I cannot believe the cost to host the 2026 World Cup, FIFA soccer. Color me bad because I'm not a big soccer guy, but come on. $82 million of government funding per game. $82 million per game. How is this possible? Parliamentary Budget Officer does an analysis of this. They released it yesterday, estimating a total cost of $1.1 billion. That's Canadian cost, by the way. Don't forget, some of the games are down in the States. They incur those costs down there, but $1.1 billion. If you convert it to U.S. dollars for comparison, Canada's spending $59.6 million a game, less than the $90.9 million that Brazil spent in 2014. So, I mean, this is the it can always be worse category, but to put it in perspective, World Cup soccer games, absolutely some of the most costly sporting events. In fact, the cost of one game is comparable to the entire upper limit salary cap for an NHL team for this past hockey season. This is crazy to me, and I can't believe we're spending this kind of money. Cal and Oxbow said the money spent on soccer is no different than the money spent on global affairs. Corrupt money laundering situation where all kinds of connected people are getting money stuffed into their pockets. Todd in Big Sky, Montana, the government's got $82 million to pay per game. Maybe they could do a little bit to fight homelessness in our communities. Kevin in Regina Beach, what a waste of taxpayer money to make the rich wealthier. Why do we subsidize the richest in the country? Goes on to talk about corruption involved with this. I can't believe. Sarah, I went into the newsroom specifically to talk to Sarah Mills, who, of course, is a big soccer fan, is excited about the World Cup, but she too admits. She said, don't get me started on the crazy costs associated to the World Cup. But then the second I started talking about not liking soccer, that's when she fought back. Nonetheless, it's going ahead. The World Cup FIFA games are going to be happening here in Canada. Just know that they come at a big cost to you, the taxpayer. Okay, let's take a break. We'll get set for our monthly check-in with the mayors from Saskatoon and Regina. That's coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.